Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome to Homeschool Companion. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and here with me is Catherine Zoller. And I have in front of me some really cute books. Catherine, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then I wondered if you would read one of the books.
Sure, I'd be happy to.
Us.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So tell us a little bit about your background, how you became a author of children's literature.
By complete and total accident. I actually had been, when we used to live in Sherman, Texas when my children were small, and one night when I couldn't sleep, which is very common with me, there was a full moon out the window of our bedroom, and I just held my hands up and I said, God, what do you want to do with these hands? And the Lord spoke very clearly to my heart and said five words: I want you to write. Well, I jumped out of bed and went downstairs and grabbed a paper and pen and was waiting to see what it was that the Lord was going to have me write. And nothing came. I wrote half a grocery list. I actually put that in the about the author thing. But I never forgot. I mean, it was like Mary. I just treasured it in my heart. I knew the Lord had spoken a word to me. And I didn't know if I was going to maybe write my testimony. I've got a pretty powerful testimony of how I came out of being a juvenile delinquent and drug addiction and all kinds of things, and then got saved and went to Youth with a Mission and became a missionary, and then got married and started my family. So I wasn't sure if that was going to be what I was going to write. My oldest son, Jordan, had a heart-lung transplant when he was 17, and I started a book about his journey called Living with Lazarus, because it was truly like watching somebody come back from the dead, that transplant. Mm. And so all these years are going by, and finally I had gone to a Bible study that my mother-in-law had invited me to. And they had been studying the book of Genesis. And again, on a sleepless night, I was laying in bed trying to figure out what it was I was going to share with these women on the last day of class, when everybody could talk about what they had gotten out of the study. And this first little couplet came to mind. This is the true story of how it all began. God was talking to himself and designed a plan. So I thought, well, that's kind of cute. And I got up and I wrote it down, and I went back to bed, and another one came, and I got up and I wrote that one down. And finally, I thought, I need to just stay up until these quit coming to me. And when I had finished, I had put the entire book of Genesis to rhyme. And so I read it for all these women the next day, and they burst into applause, which was totally uncharacteristic. And I had all of them came up to me afterwards and wanted copies, and it was just so unexpected. And I had one woman say, Catherine, have you ever thought about making that into a children's book? I said, Debbie, I hadn't thought of any of it till 3 o'clock this morning. But that got the wheels turning. And then through a very, very long series of events, Genesis came out in 2009, and Matthew came out in July of 2010. And we've got there should be about 30 in the series when it's finished.
Wow. And we're going to ask you, this is a nice new book, so the pages might not turn so
fine.
Well.
The truth is, I've got it all memorized anyway. I don't even need the book. So let me just start at the beginning?
Yes, okay. Yes. And it's beautifully illustrated.
Oh, it is. Aren't they wonderful?
They are.
He just did such a great job. So bright and kid-friendly. I don't know how much. I'll just pick a few. We'll just kind of go through and pick a few places. Okay. This is the true story of how it all began. God was talking to himself and designed a plan. In 6 short days, when he shouted the command, up popped the stars, the trees, the seas, and land. Then he let loose with his vast imagination and created all the animals and all the vegetation. There were cobras and camels and leopards with spots, ostriches and hummingbirds and fishes with dots. And down it goes. He made Brussels sprouts and taters and the odd kumquat, and somehow out of nothing, he ended up with quite a lot. Now, don't think he was finished with all that he had done, because next came the people, and the fun had just begun. He wanted a people with whom to share his great love, to walk with and talk with, like the fellowship above. God said, let us make man in our image and likeness, with a spirit that reflects our friendship and rightness. First he made a man, but saw he needed a wife, so he took a rib from Adam's side, and Eve came to life. He settled them in Eden and showed them all the stuff, then gave them just one rule. so it wouldn't be too tough. They couldn't eat the fruit off the center tree, but in all other things were completely free. They had everything they needed, and God was their friend. Everything was perfect. It never needed to end. But along came the serpent, who was crafty and sly, and told Eve if she ate the fruit, she wouldn't really die. So she reached for the fruit and took a big bite, then offered some to Adam when he came into sight. She was deceived into thinking she would be as God, and broke the flow of fellowship, and now stood flawed. At that very instant, their eyes were opened wide, and their fellowship with God became a great divide. And on it goes through...
That's fantastic.
Thank you. It's just, like I said, the entire book, it talk about Cain and Abel, and then, of course, Noah. And part of the things that I think this series it does, truthfully, Rose, there's nothing else like this on the market. I mean, you can go to a bookstore and find a dozen books about Joseph and the Coat of Many Colors or Noah and the Ark, but you can't find any children's book that keep the chronology and theme of stories of the entire book. And so that is, again, very unique. And the other thing that we did at the bottom of each page is the scripture reference, because the tagline for Rhyme and Reason Ministries is getting these books in people's hands so people's hands will pick up the book.
Yes.
And so I want children, new Christians, adults, whomever, to be able to read the narrative and then go in the scriptures and find exactly where they can read it the way God wrote it.
Pointing to God's Word.
Exactly.
Fantastic. Well, I so appreciate you taking the time to come and talk about these books, because I know many parents, homeschooling and other, every parent is involved in home education.
Right.
And I can see this being a fantastic tool used as part of a Bible curriculum.
Right.
All ages.
Exactly.
When you're teaching couplets and rhyme to older kids, this is a great example.
Well, and children learn so well with rhyme. I mean, think back to when you were in preschool and kindergarten. I bet you can remember every little
yes.
song you ever learned because of the rhyme or the meter or the melody. I mean, it stays with us. And so, again, I feel like we're putting the concepts and the themes of Scripture and the heart of the Father in young children so that they understand what the books of the Bible is all about, each particular one. And also, we have available for free on the website some downloadable coloring pictures and word games that go with each book, because I wanted to try to create tools so that homeschool parents or Sunday school teachers or whomever could, you know, use them as in a learning environment.
Yes. Now, that website, is that the Rhyme and Reason Series.com?
Yes.
All spelled out, the Rhyme and Reason Series.com.
Right.
A great resource. Okay, so you were telling a little bit about some of the trials and tribulations that you went through in your journey. What words of encouragement would you have for that? First of all, the parents. You know, maybe they have a very young child that seems already rebellious.
Right.
Do you have any words of encouragement for that parent in that situation?
Of course. I think the biggest thing for me in my childhood was that I just felt like that nobody understood me. I was severely ADHD before they called it that way back in the dark ages. And I was constantly in trouble. I was a horrible student, so I was always in trouble at home and I was always in trouble at school. So I had this very, even from an early age, this very negative idea about myself because I was constantly in trouble. And I just thought I was stupid because I didn't make good grades. And I think my dad was not a Christian, and my mother went to church, but just the Lord was not a huge part of our daily family environment. It's like we went to church on Sunday with my mother, and that was it. So I think the biggest thing a Christian parent could do is to really pray and ask God for wisdom and discernment into the key to unlock that child's heart so that that child feels understood and can feel the unconditional love, even in the midst of discipline. And then the parents themselves, it can be so exasperating to have a child like me. I would not have wanted to raise me, Rose. I would not. And I think my mother's a little chagrined that I didn't get one like me. but I just think we need to, you know, just keep ourselves refreshed in the Lord, which we need to do anyway. And when we get exasperated with that child and we're at our wit's end, just go and, you know, take a shower, get someplace alone where you can be with the Lord and just let Him renew you and recharge you and encourage you so that you've got the energy and the wherewithal then to go back into the battle, so to speak.
Yes. We just recently did a show where the mother had a child that was ADHD, and she explained, you know, this the feelings of she has her doctorate. She knew how to raise children. And right. then the Lord gave her this child.
Right, to let her know that she didn't really know nearly as much as she thought she did. Right.
She said she began to feel like a horrible parent because the child just didn't seem to respond to any of the parenting techniques that she knew.
Well, and I think that's a really excellent point. I think sometimes if you have a difficult child, then it does make you feel like you're a horrible parent if you're having problems with them and you can't figure it out. And again, I just think the idea or what God wants us to do is rely on Him. Rely on Him for wisdom. Because you can have all the education in the world like this woman, and that's not the wisdom of the Lord. Necessarily. It's not the insight that He would give into the heart of that particular child. And so there's certain things that we can do that you can learn in books. I'm all about, you know, reading parenting books or anything like that. But ultimately, I think our responsibility is to look to Him, our Father, to show us what we need.
You know, I look at the ADHD child.
Easy for you to say.
And I see they usually are brilliant. And if I could go inside their mind, I think they're probably dominant maybe on both halves of their brain. You know, they're very whole-brained.
Well, that would not be true in my case, but it might be true in some of them. I'm completely right-brained, which is why I had to marry somebody who's completely left-brained. Yes. That way, between the two of us, we have a whole brain.
I often say that about me and my husband. But I never had the H part. I definitely had the ADD part, but not the H part. And I think it, though, is a gift.
Yeah, I've learned to see it as a gift. It didn't seem like a gift when it was causing me all kinds of trauma in my early childhood. I think one of the things people can do, too, for a child who's ADHD or ADD is keep them constantly stimulated, because that's kind of what's happening in their brain. Their brain's firing on all cylinders, and it's like constant stimulation. So, you can... you know, like with my son Jordan, I used to do things like go into the grocery store and, you know, prick an onion. I mean, not an onion, an orange, and let him smell the orange and just do things that would stimulate his senses. Take him out and have him rub his fingers against the bark of a tree and talk about how rough it was. And just things like that where you're stimulating them in a positive way.
Yes. Now, and another thing that they do struggle with is boredom.
Right.
Even though we kind of say, you know, only boring people are bored. A child who's ADHD or ADD struggles with things that are boring to them.
Right, because, again, I think their brain's firing on all cylinders. I mean, seriously, an anecdotal story that was true about me was in kindergarten, there was some little rinky-dink game that you were supposed to play where you shook the sand in the cylinders to figure out which sounds were alike, and I was done with it in 30 seconds. It was like, well, the ones that are the same size have the same sound. Next! You know, that was supposed to keep me entertained for 10 minutes or something, so I think you're absolutely right. It's like, okay, you know, I'm moving on, folks. Yeah. You know, go with me. And that would be really frustrating for a homeschool parent who maybe has several children, you know, and you've got this one that just is constantly needing direction or attention or something.
Yes, and that's one thing that we've pointed out. We often say that, attention deficit means that they can't focus on any one thing. The truth of the matter is they can really focus on those things that engage them.
Right, that's exactly right.
I mean, how can you write something like this if you aren't able to focus?
Right. But I can focus because I'm interested in it. And that's I guess that's another key for a child like that, is really find what interests them and spend a lot of time on that particular thing so that that need is filled in them. I mean, they still have to do math, whether or not they still have to do some science, but you know what I'm saying.
You can be creative about that.
Exactly. Exactly.
You really can. So these are the first two books that you've written.
Uh-huh.
So it's like a new, and you're going to do the whole Bible?
No, I think there's going to be about 30. There's some books that don't lend themselves to the format, like Psalms and Proverbs you couldn't really do it with. But the idea was at first to publish them two at a time. That ended up not being the case, but we're going to go Genesis and Matthew are both books of beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
Exodus and Acts are both books of going out. Leviticus and Hebrews are both books about the priesthood. My agent said, Who wants to read the book of Leviticus? I said everybody will after they read the rhyme and reason version, because they'll understand it's all about the holiness of God.
Yeah.
And then Numbers and probably the Gospel of John, because I couldn't think of a good one to go with that. And then Deuteronomy and Romans will come out back to back, because they're both books of the law. So that'll be the first 10. And then after that, we'll see what the Lord has in mind. And I want to mention, too, that we also have personalized audio books that are available on the website. So the child actually hears their name being read over 40 times within the book.
Oh, that's neat.
They have been phenomenally successful. Parents love them because they can put them in the car and play them for the child while they're, you know, driving and running errands or something. And so, you know, kids love to hear their name.
Well, yes, and I think in this age, kids are hungry to have that personalized attention. So if parents have figured out a way to give them a little personalized attention,
right,
even if it is through a pre-recorded
right
book.
But it's just something special to have your name being read
it
to you.
It is.
So,
yeah. I like it when my name's read to me.
Right.
But, you know, we had nothing like that when I was a kid. Well, we're going to have to take a break here, but we'll be right back.
Here's Dr. Rose Gamblin with a Mind Matter Minute.
Are you right-brained or left-brained? An easy way to find out is to cross your arms. Is the right arm over the left arm? If so, then you are most likely right-brained. The right half of your brain controls the more creative side of you, and the left half of your brain controls the analytical side. This popular interpretation of the brain, though, ignores the complex interactive reality of the two sides working together. While understanding the brain's hemispherical roles is important, we can't categorize people as left-brained or right-brained. It's better to be whole-brained, don't you think? It sure matters to your mind.
Mind Matter Minute is brought to you by MRG Media Ministry. For more information on topics about learning, go to mrgmediaministry.com. That's mrgmediaministry.com.
Mama! Mama! Where are you? Mama!
There are over 145 million orphans in the world today, and how can we help? Well, first of all, you can pray. Take courage from the life of George Mueller, who raised $225 million in answer to prayer alone and saved thousands of orphans from lives of appalling destitution. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I've chosen Restore a Child as the humanitarian organization I'm going to support.
To make a donation, go to www.restoreachild.org or call 877-745-7833. That's 877-745-7833.
Welcome back to Homeschool Companion. We are talking with Catherine Zoller, and they labeled you kind of Dr. Seuss meets the Bible.
Right.
What do you think about that label?
Well, I came up with it, so
okay.
I love it. But what I was trying to do was figure out something that you could do, like a nutshell version that would give people an idea that they could get what these books are all about. So, you know, Dr. Seuss had the clever, you know, rhyme and the whimsy and beautiful illustrations. And so I just think that kind of in a nutshell lets somebody know what they're getting when they pick up these books.
And I would go on to say, I know Dr. Seuss, a little bit of the history there. He was given a set of words by one of the main publishers, and then he had to develop these...
Random House. I read his biography.
He had to develop these books. It took him a long time. He said that people often think that when you have something very simple for kids, that it's very simple to write. But he said it actually took him much longer to write those books than what was some of the serious things he did. You have gone by far a step further, because there's content. There's right. real spiritual content in your stuff.
Right. Well, it's the Bible put to rhyme. Yeah. And so I did. There is a lot of commentary, a lot of theology, if mm-hmm. you want to use that word. Just talking about, again, the truth of Scripture. And even in the Old Testament books, there's always a reference to Jesus. In fact, in Genesis here, one of the lines is, after the fall, where they had to leave the garden, said they had to leave Eden and their close communion with him, so God made new clothes for them from animal skin. At that moment of crisis, God promised to begin to implement a plan to restore people back to him. Through the line of Eve would come the chosen one who would crush the serpent's head and would be God's only son. And that was actually my son Jacob's suggestion, to always put a reference to Christ in even the Old Testament books, because obviously the Bible all leads to him. But yeah, but that's one of the things that people tell me all the time, is that there's lots of teaching points
yes,
in here.
It's very interesting.
Thank you. I appreciate
your website again is the Rhyme and Reason
Series.
Uh-huh.
The Rhyme and Reason
the
Series.
Rhyme and Reason Series.
We wanted to make it as long as we possibly could.
Well, you've succeeded. You've been successful. Now, you have a motto, and I'm going to let you say the motto. It really is a cool motto. Have you...
Is this for my speakers part of it?
Yes, from your speakers part.
Yeah, well, I do speak. I speak a lot to women's retreats. I mean, any church setting or group. And my motto is, make them laugh, make them cry, make them think, and change their lives. Because I don't want to just tickle their ears. I don't want to fly all over the country just because I can. Mm-hmm. I want to go in and really have people transformed by the word that God has chosen to give through me. And so, you know, if their lives aren't changed, if their thinking isn't changed, if something dramatic hasn't happened, if their hope isn't restored, if they don't walk out of there going, wow, if she can do that, then I can too, then it's all just, you know, wasted
yes.
breath, in my opinion.
And using humor, why do you use humor in your...
Because everybody loves to laugh, for one thing, and the other thing is it keeps your attention.
Yeah.
And I've got a really dramatic story, and, you know, I have to talk about, I talk about, you know, again, my own background, and then losing my oldest son, Jordan. He lived 5 years after his heart and lung transplant. And you can't leave an audience with that heavy of a story
yes.
without injecting a tremendous amount of humor. And so it really is kind of a roller coaster ride. I have people tell me that all the time. Oh my gosh, I was laughing so hard, and then the next minute I was crying.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how that tagline came about, actually.
Well, I just praise God for your testimony, and what a tremendous burden to carry, and yet to look at our risen Lord
right.
for the hope in the future.
Well, and, you know, in everything, and I hope it's true for anybody who's listening, you know, God doesn't promise us an easy life, because we live in a fallen world, and there is sin and tragedy and chaos and death and destruction and all kinds of horrible things. But what he does promise us is that he will be with us all the way through it. In fact, when Jordan died, I cried out to the Lord, and I just said, oh God, I have buried my son. I have buried my son. I just couldn't wrap my mind around it. And the Lord spoke to me so clearly, Rose, and he said, I know, I buried mine too. And I thought, you know exactly what this feels like. You know exactly what this feels like. And that just comforted my heart. And I said, but you got yours back 3 days later. You know, you might as well tell him what's on your mind, because
yes.
he knows anyway. And I just wanted the God of the universe to know that I was hurting just a little bit more than he could possibly understand. But again, the Lord spoke to me so clearly, not audibly, but in my spirit. And he said, I know, Catherine, and that's why I got yours instantly. And Rose, I knew right then the truth of the gospel, that we do not die if we are in Christ. And Jordan did not die. He went from life to life because of what Jesus Christ had done for him and does for each of us.
Amen. Well, that is a wonderful note to conclude our show on. Thank you so much, Catherine.
Thank you. It's my privilege.
Make sure you go to her website, therhymeandreasonseries.com. It's a great resource for families. And we have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
Thank you so much, Rose.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. We would also like to thank our production staff and the various networks for making this broadcast possible. For more information, go to myhomeschoolcompanion.com. That's myhomeschoolcompanion.com.